Let us pause for a word of prayer. Embrace us, Holy Lord, that you might release us and unleash the church. Love us so much that our love will be overflowing and touch a hurting and hungry world. May the words of my mouth and all of our mouths be acceptable, Lord, in thy sight, thou who has been our strength and our Redeemer, Jesus the Christ, the living one, who walks with us. Amen. I'm excited and enthusiastic about the future of our witness as a church. I am excited and enthusiastic about the future of our witness as a church in the Iowa Annual Conference. God has invited us to attempt great things in Iowa and all over the world. Even as we expect great things from God, we should always attempt great things for God. As I celebrate 4 years as your bishop, I reflect upon the many opportunities to proclaim the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. As we spread together the ministry of encouragement in every part of Iowa, amen. Last year, in the Episcopal Address, I spoke of going deeper in order for us to go farther. In the words of my colleague, Bishop Joaquina Nanala of Mozambique, if you want to go fast, walk alone. But if you want to go far, walk together. The Iowa Annual Conference made some decisions to walk together in different ways. Several years ago, when we established our new structure and established our ministry cabinet, we as a ministry cabinet have been engaged in dreaming, leading, planning, and working together as we focus on making disciples of Jesus Christ and transforming the world. Over the past 2 years, we have been engaged in conversations focused on aligning our work so that local congregations and Iowa communities can experience our best efforts as servant leaders. District ministry teams, conference leadership development ministers, lay leadership, pastoral care, the communications and conference treasurer, we have all been invited to live as a community of leaders, lay and clergy, committed to vital congregations and promoting new places for new and different people. But not only new places for new and different people, but forgotten places, as one pastor said just a few weeks ago to me, forgotten places and forgotten people. Iowa United Methodist, I want you to know that we can only be true disciples of Jesus Christ and grow in spirit and in numbers if we, in the words of South African pastor Trevor Hudson, give priority to prayer and holy listening. Yes, I am excited about efforts that have positioned us as a denomination to reach more people and to end malaria. Yes, I believe we have an opportunity to learn and to listen as we as a ministry cabinet share the stories that transform lives. Annual conference, please remember that we are only limited by our ability to dream and our commitment to share the gospel. Let us pray unceasingly, let us give generously, and let us join as we live into the future with focus, investment, and testimony.
I'm Paul Smith. I'm the Field Outreach Minister for the South Central District. In his book, Visioneering, God's blueprint for developing and maintaining vision, Andy Stanley writes about Nehemiah. For those that you remember, Nehemiah was the cupbearer for the king of Persia during the time when some of the Israelites had been allowed to return home after the exile. But the Israelites had let the temple fall back into disrepair, and sacrifices had ceased. The Jewish people continued to adopt the practices of the surrounding nations. Nehemiah was praying for an opportunity to share his vision, to return, and to help his country and his people. I like what Andy writes about Nehemiah's situation. Quote, "Our tendency is to pray for miracles, but in most situations it is more appropriate to pray for opportunities. More than likely, you will need an opportunity rather than something supernatural. For your vision involves you. You have a role. You have a part to play. Nehemiah never prayed for God to rebuild the wall. What Nehemiah prays for is an opportunity to go and rebuild it himself." That's the difference between a dreamer and a visionary. Dreamers dream about things being different. Visionaries envision themselves making a difference. Dreamers think about how nice it would be for something to be done. Visionaries look for an opportunity to do something. We in the Iowa Annual Conference of the United Methodist Church have many, many opportunities to do something. According to missioninsight.com, the demographic surface that we use in the Iowa Annual Conference, basically in any given community in our geographical area, on average, we only have about 15 to 17% of the population who even think that going to a worship service is important. Leonard Sweet, a church consultant, says that 75% of all the churches in the United States are plateaued and most are in decline. Of the remaining churches who are growing, almost all of them are growing because they're getting Christians from other churches. Take note, only 1% of all the churches in the United States are growing because they are reaching those who have not been a part of the church. Over and over again, research has shown that 60% of the population are not a part of the church. According to missiologist Ed Stetzer, unless the church starts to do something different, about 70% of the population of our neighborhood will never cross the threshold of our congregation's doors. Jesus Christ has told us that we are to go and to make disciples. But for decades, we were able to stay and have people come to us. This way of reaching people is no longer a very effective method, and we are missing opportunities. Why is that? According to Richard Hamm, author of Recreating Church Leadership for the Postmodern Age, we are in the midst of a perfect storm. And one element of that perfect storm is a shift in culture. We in the mainline church had come to depend upon the culture to convey the language and the concepts of faith for them. Before 1968, children opened public school day with their Pledge of Allegiance and the Lord's Prayer. In December, public school choirs sang Christmas carols. Spring break was Easter break and always came during Holy Week. In some regions, public schools scheduled nothing on Wednesday nights or on Sunday mornings because they were reserved for church activities. End of quote. No matter what we may think of those days, we cannot go back. We must learn how to go forward. We can no longer depend upon the culture to do what Christ has commanded the church to do. In our honest moments, though, we're often unsure of how even to begin to reach those out of the church who choose not to be a part of the church. And sometimes the only examples of reaching out we can come up with, quite frankly, we find very annoying, and we don't want to imitate. We have never been the church in times such as these. We need help. We are clearly not living up to our kingdom potential. And this is where the Healthy Church Initiative and the Healthy Small Church Initiative is able to speak volumes to us. Healthy Church Initiative is a process that originated out of the Missouri Annual Conference. Notice it is not a program. Programs tend to focus on activities. Processes work towards transformation. A program will not lead us out of this perfect storm. Healthy Church Initiative is a process that begins with clergy and laity becoming a part of a continuous learning community. We study books from a wide cross-section of authors, pastors, and church leaders who have led their churches towards living more closely to their kingdom potential. During the first part of Healthy Church Initiative, we read, we talk, we pray, we study the Bible, and we form ministry action plans for learning. And then again, when we gather, we share from each other what worked and what didn't go according to plan. One of the greatest things we learn is that we are not alone. The next greatest thing we learn is that we have the potential to change. After 9 sessions of being in a learning community, a congregation may apply for a consultation. Before the consultation team arrives, the church conducts a very extensive self-study of their history, of their community, of giving patterns, of their physical facilities. Then a consultation team comes to their church and will talk to their leaders. They will listen to a focus group. They will conduct a training event and teach the church about church's life cycles and how we can find a new vision for tomorrow. And also during the consultation, we begin to learn about a thing called bridge events, which is a way for the church to reach out to its community. Then the congregation will receive a report, which shares the information about the congregation, which is gleaned from the self-study and the consultation weekend. 3 to 5 strengths, 3 to 5 concerns, and 3 to 5 prescriptions on how to address those concerns. After a congregation has had time to talk about their report, they will either vote to decline the report or accept the report and adopt the recommendation it contains. If the church accepts, the church and the pastor will get a coach for 12 to 18 months to help implement the changes. And also during this time of implementation, the pastor is part of a peer mentoring group. Peer mentoring is a group of pastors who are going through the exact same process and are in a learning community, learning from each other. Experience has shown that within the first year after beginning this process, the majority of the churches do grow, and they are filled with a renewed sense of purpose. These churches have found and formed new processes to help them carry out the mission for Jesus Christ. We'd like to share with you a video of the pastor and some other lay leadership from the Winterset United Methodist Church. The Winterset United Methodist Church was the first church in the Iowa Annual Conference that went through a consultation weekend, and they've gone through it, they've talked about it, and next Sunday they will vote on whether to recommend it. But listen to what they have to say about thus far.
I think one of the healthiest church things for us to come out of this has been the fact that we had to do all of the background information, compile the data, the demographics of our community. I think that that's been extremely valuable to our congregation.
And what surprised me as much as anything is as we went through this process,
we found out how many people were on the same page of what they wanted, you know, but nobody had ever talked much, so to speak. And we found a number of things I thought that we agreed that the church needed to do that we didn't know we needed to do it, yes.
I guess I'm hoping that we will not just be the face of Jesus in our community, but that we'll be the hands and the feet and the heart as well.
To stay focused on a direction rather than scattered all over everywhere, to stay focused on that mission of the church is will help form us and is exciting to me for them to be able to catch that vision.
It's allowed us to speak on a different level than we have with each other about different topics that we hadn't thought to broach before. I most definitely would. And this is why, not only because of the things that we had to do for the background work, but you know, if we could have solved all of this, come up with these answers ourselves, we would have done that years ago. I mean, we're an intelligent bunch of people. We would have done that. The nice thing about having a consultation team come in is that they don't have a personal agenda. The only agenda that they have is to make disciples for Christ.
The Healthy Church Initiative and the Healthy Small Church Initiative is a top priority for the ministry cabinet. Right now, we are missing opportunities for us to live up to our kingdom potential. We must become healthy in order for us to live out to the next part of making new places for new people. Thank you.
For everything, there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to throw away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. That which is already has been. That which is to be already is. God seeks out what has gone by. As the passage from Ecclesiastes 3 notes, for everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. The world around us has shifted. We are in an important time of transition that is ripe with possibilities for new life. We have a unique opportunity before us to live out ministries that move us outside the walls of our churches into relationship with our communities. As the prophet Jeremiah stated, seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. New Places for New People is an inspiring opportunity that invites all people into discipleship with and for one another in partnership with God to the benefit and health of the entire community. We are being called to move on from a season of planning and programming in this annual conference into a new season of life in our faith community that plans and trains for ministry locally so that we are interacting with and responding to the realities and needs of our communities and our world. Whether you are laity or clergy, whether you live in a rural or urban setting, a multicultural and multilingual community, or a community with only one or two cultures present, a town with mostly elderly people, or a town with mostly young people, a place where most people work as farmers and factory workers, or a place where most people have jobs as doctors and professors, there are ripe opportunities for a new way of being in ministry in places that meet people where they are. It all starts with getting to know your neighbors, their dreams and hopes, their gifts and passions, and what they would like to offer to the community. It is through these relationships that God can create newness and vitality in unexpected ways so that everyone emerges transformed. New Places for New People is about God's calling in our lives to be a church sent into the world to shape and support disciples who are and will continue to transform the world through authentic relationships. New Places for New People is not a single one-size-fits-all ministry. Neil Cole notes in his book, Church 3.0, quote, "Unfortunately, as the world looks at our churches, particularly in the West, it sees only what people have done or what programs they are doing. The world is not impressed. In response, we scheme and plot and plan. What can we do to make our church more appealing to the people in our community? This is once again the wrong question. A better question is, where is Jesus seen at work in our midst? Where do we see lives changing and communities transforming simply by the power of the gospel? Where do we see addicts who no longer live under the bondage of chemical dependency? Where are wealthy businesses making restitution for past crimes that went unnoticed? These are the questions that lead people to recognize the living presence of Jesus, loving and governing people's lives as their king. When people encounter Jesus, alive and present as king, they get a taste of God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven," end quote. New places for new people involves spending time as a congregation in intentional prayer and discernment about God's calling for your ministry as you walk down this new path. It involves beginning to get to know who your neighbors are and the people who live near your church building. It means forming authentic relationships with new groups of people who are not currently a part of your faith community, in places that may be outside the walls of your church building. It includes risk-taking and making a leap into the unknown, trusting that the Holy Spirit will be actively engaged in the experience, and that God will guide everyone in this journey. New places for new people is an adventure well worth the risk, because the outcomes are critical to our witness and ministry in the broader community. New places for new people is a shared commitment that we can hold together as a priority for our life as an annual conference. Each of us is invited into this journey as we seek to support and inspire one another during this new season of life. The hope for outcome of new places for new people is that we become living examples of faith in the places where we live. When we do this, everyone involved will truly be transformed. As our 2008 Book of Discipline notes in paragraph 101, quote, "Scriptural holiness entails more than personal piety. Love of God is always linked with love of neighbor, a passion for justice and renewal in the life of the world," end quote. Here are a few stories from our local churches around the state that are embarking on a journey of ministry with new people in new places. The first story is from South Central District. Listen to Reverend Gideon Gallio as he shares about the profound importance of authentic interpersonal relationships in ministry with new people.
It gives me, when I met these people, some sort of, it provided me some way of going back to what I used to do in the Philippines, going outside, talking to people. So when we had the opportunity to meet with this young man, who, and he introduced himself as a Filipino. And then for the first time, we were able to meet a Filipino here in Madison County. So my wife said, "I think we need to visit them in their house." When we visited them, they told us that they have some Filipino friends also around this area. I just took the opportunity to introduce myself to them as pastor of the United Methodist Church. And before we had our fellowship, I started with a prayer. After the second Cover Bridges Festival, we just decided that we will go in to have a regular fellowship and prayer and Bible study. We have a prayer covenant every Saturday. One time they asked if it's okay, if, even if they are not Methodist, if they could bring their child for baptism, and I said, in the Methodist Church is a grace, it's a means of grace, and no one can stop you that.
The second New Places for New People story takes place in the East Central District in Cedar Rapids, where new and exciting partnerships are being formed between existing congregations and worshiping communities of recent immigrants from Sudan and other Pan-African nations.
Hear the drums echoing tonight, and she hears only whispers of some quiet conversation. She's coming in 12:30 flight, the moonlit wings reflect the stars that guide me towards salvation. I stopped an old man along the way, hoping to find some old forgotten words or ancient melodies. He turned to me as if to say, "Hurry, boy, it's waiting there for you.
Final story comes from the Central District. This story portrays how an existing congregation can inspire and catalyze the formation of a new faith community.
We wanted to do it as a concept of an existing church that we felt had some you know, good, you know, healthy DNA, you might say. We're not perfect by any means, and we're not a, you know, big, huge church, but we have some healthy things we felt, and on a good growth track record to see if there was something that we could do in order to begin to push into the Johnson area and provide a United Methodist framework, a United Methodist worshiping congregation in Johnston and as a part of New Hope's ministry. We had probably almost close to 40 to 50% of our members actually come from Johnston.
We began visioning, dreaming, pushing new activities, offering new locations, and all kinds of events outside of the church, whether at the community center or the barn up in Johnson, which works really well, or we've been meeting for worship at Beaver Creek Elementary, really engaging the community. It was a significant period, a year and a half, before we really felt engaged. And in fact, even though the conference and the leadership here had done some work here with New Hope, I think it took me that long of being here for the people to know me, trust me, to be interested in doing something outside, because we were asking them to do something that they'd not done before. Our mission statement, as we've begun to develop that ministry, Johnston River of Life, is being Christ in community. And so we're finding ways to live that out through events, through worship, but really not focused on a building, focused on the community.
We are excited about sharing the love of Christ in the communities where we live. We're committed to doing everything we can as a ministry cabinet to bring leadership to this annual conference to help all of our congregations search out new places for new people so that relationships can be built and the faith can spread and transform the world. And now, my friends, we're going to sing for you. Where do you want us, Phil?
You may have heard about four lads from Great Britain who came in the 1960s to America. Well, we've got an adaptation of those lads' good music for a hymn in the faith we sing called We All Are One in Mission. And so we're going to sing a little bit of it for you. And I think we may even be able to throw the words up on the screen. Maybe you can join us if you like. So put your hands together and let's sing.